Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good all the time. And how many of you know His mercy endures forever? Amen. Really, I have this impressed, the Lord impressed me with this to share this tonight. And so much of the time, you know, as we look to, especially in the beginning of the year, you know, beginning of a school year, beginning of a calendar year, beginning of a decade, you know, different things of that sort. People are looking for, well, what, you know, how do I have success and different things of that sort. And, you know, a lot of times, and it may be needed, but a lot of times people are looking for some big radical thing to do to change. Well, you might eventually get there, but, you know, what you're looking for is something that you don't have to make you a success in the future. I want us to look tonight as I believe it's a biblical principle that you already have what you need to take the next step. And to use what we have to get to the place that we need to be. You know, sometimes it's if I just had more of this, if I just had this, you know. And we all go through it. I'll never forget, I was in east of Accra, there in Ghana, at a good church there. And pastor was, you know, they had a special night service, just they had arranged for me to speak, and the church was packed, and big full choir, they sang. I mean, oh my goodness, it was just outstanding. Comfortable seats, air conditioning, you know, in the building. I had been, most places I'd been there, we didn't have any air condition, you know, and you just, as fast as you can move your hand with a little fan, that's the air conditioning you got, you know. And he got up and talked about it, and was talking about some things, and he mentioned to he related this story that when he told some of his fellow ministers how are you going to pay for air conditioning in that building? And he told, you know, it cost them to do what they did about $400,000 U.S. dollars there. And all the money came out of that church, out of just people's generous giving. But he said, I told people, and he said, I told God. He said, I went to God. I said, God, he said, we need air conditioning here. We're suffering. And I know it's not your will that we suffer. He said, if they have air conditioning in any other church in the world, we need it here. That's what he said. And he said, now, God, how am I going to do that? He said, what do I have? What do I have to do that? To do that. He said, I don't have, he said, I didn't have the money to pay for it. And the Lord told him this, why don't you use the currency of faith? He said, you can always use your faith. And he said, so that's how we paid for this air conditioning. We used the currency of faith. We started telling everybody, our church is air conditioned. And it's paid for in Jesus' name. And it's paid for by this congregation in Jesus' name. And boy, when I was there, I enjoyed the fruit of their faith. Amen? Hallelujah. See, it wasn't, God didn't say, well, if you just, no. He said, what do you have? You've already got faith. Use that. Use the currency of faith. I'll never forget that statement. We paid for it with the currency of faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So along with that, here there's a principle that I think we find in the Word of God, that it's not what you don't have that's keeping you from being where you need to be or taking the next step. It's, are you using what you do have? So much, again, well, if I just had this, if I had that much money, then I'd do it. Well, again, you're waiting, you're working, really, and that really works against what that principle that we're going to look at tonight. 2 Corinthians 8. Now, to give you a little background, the church in Jerusalem's under big persecution. Paul had been to Corinth. And they decided they wanted to take up a special offering, send to the people in Jerusalem to help them out, the church, help out the Christians there. Well, it had been a year, and they'd been enthusiastic about it, but they hadn't done anything about it yet. Paul told them, but he said, now the Macedonians, they heard the same thing. And he said, they were in deep poverty, yet out of their deep poverty, they gave an abundant gift. First, he said, not as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. There's that principle. They didn't have money, but they had themselves. And they gave themselves to that. And then he gets down here and he tells them, I think it's good. It would be good. This is my advice that you do this. Now look at verse 12. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, not according to that he has not. The New Living says, if you're really eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. Amen. See, God's not looking at amounts, you see. He's looking at what are you doing with what we have. Now, this kind of goes along. There's another principle that I see in the Word of God. I call it the all-in principle. God requires that if we're going to do it, we go all in. You know, I used to hear Brother Hagin say, people tell him, well, I tried that. He said, you don't try faith, you do it. What's he say? You're not going to try this. You have to do it. You're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to call things that be not as though they were. You're going to have to believe you receive when you pray. You're not going to try it. You're going to have to live this way. Okay? And so he said, look, it's not being according to what you don't have. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. Now, I started, in going through this, I started thinking about some things. And as I was praying over these things, the Lord started bringing things to my remembrance. So let's look at some of those. Exodus chapter 4. Let's look at Moses here. And let's see if we can see a pattern in the Word of God. I'll start in verse 1 because we want to read quite a bit here. Exodus 4:1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe in that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. Now notice what Moses said. Lord, he said, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to my they're not going to believe that you appeared to me. Give me, he's asking God, give me something. Some supernatural sign. And what did God say? What do you have in your hand? Now, I want you to understand now, for a shepherd, at this time, you know, he's a shepherd, helping his father-in-law there, been out in the desert. But a shepherd, that rod, that's the most prized possession and tool that they have. Sometimes what you have, see, when we start saying, well, that's according to what you have, we start categorizing things, like, okay, no, that's too much. I'm going to go ahead and find out something I have that I don't need. And sow that and give that. But he said, throw that rod down. Now he'd been talking to a burning bush. He doesn't know what's going to happen to that rod. But he obeyed, he threw it down. What happened? It turned into a serpent. And now I'm sure he didn't say it, he doesn't say it. But now I'm sure he's saying, well, what am I going to do now? And what did the Lord say? Put forth your hand. Same hand. Put forth, and he took it up. Right? He said, what do you have in your hand? Cast what you already have on the ground. Now notice, when he did that, God's power went into action. When Moses gave what he had, when Moses used, in obedience to God, what he already had, God's power manifested. Not just in the stick turning into a serpent, but in Moses picking up the serpent. How many of you know that's a great miracle? How many of you would have been too far away from the snake to have picked it up with your hand after you threw that down, right? Here you are talking to God, and the devil has manifested. Right? But Moses obeyed. All right, look at verse 6-8. And the Lord God said furthermore unto him, put now your hand into your bosom, and put your hand, he put his hand inside his bosom, like I'm doing now, putting it inside my code here. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put your hand into your bosom again. He put his hand back inside, back in his bosom and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you nor hearken to your voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of your latter sign. Now what again? He had a hand. All right? Now here again, you know, he's a shepherd. He needs his hands. You know, he works with his hands. He puts it inside his jacket, pulls it out, and now it's leprous. Well, nobody's going to follow him now. Right? But then God said, put it back in. Now remember, look, he's doing what God told him, using what he already had. God hasn't done anything here other than ask him to do something with what he already had, and then God's power is manifest. You see that? All right, verse 9. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to your voice, that you shall take the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which you take out of the river shall become blood on the dry ground. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Some translations said he stuttered. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb or the deaf, the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee. He said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses and said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. Excuse me. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with him and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people. And he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And you shall be to him instead of God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, and wherewith you shall do signs. Now here again, God told him to go speak. Now here Moses misses it. He cast the rod down. He put his hand inside. But he didn't think because of past experience, he knew he couldn't speak well, so he didn't even try. He didn't give his tongue to God, didn't give his mouth to God. And God said, look, I made the mouth. I'm the one that made the mouth. I will be with you. I'll help you speak. And Moses said, no. Okay. Well, God said, well, I know you got a brother. He can speak. Because we got to deliver these people. All right. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look at David. So what did you have in your hand? He asked him, what do you have in your hand, Moses? Cast it down. See, it wasn't something he didn't have, something he already had in his possession, God used. Now here, you know, we have the story of David facing Goliath. And I want you to see something here. Now, I want to pick up here after David has seen Goliath. He's come out and he's made his challenge. And David has already asked the question, what's going to happen to the guy who defeats this guy? What's going to happen? They said, well, the king will give you all these great things. He didn't ask it once. He asked it three times. Well, what's going to happen? Made his brother mad. He said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. No, David came out. He said, you've come out to see a war. The problem was there wasn't a war. Let's pick up in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now listen, let me say something here about that. Don't be so quick to tell people they can't do something. Amen. You don't know them. You don't know their past. You don't know what's prepared them for this moment. He said, for you are but a youth, this man, a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him and slew him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I mean, here David's faith is actually infected Saul. Now Saul's on board. Okay? But Saul, now look what happened here in verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. In other words, he refused. I'm not going. David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I've not proved them. In other words, I've never fought a battle with this armor. But he had killed a lion and a bear, hadn't he? And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, something he'd always had with him, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, notice that, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, Saul's got the best armor in all of Israel. He's the king. He's got the best. I mean, he's got, if there's a sword, he's got the best. Whatever it was, he's got the best. And so he says, I'm going to put this on David. And David puts it on. It doesn't fit because, first of all, Saul is in Israel. From his shoulder up, he's taller than anybody else in all of Israel. So that no one else even reaches his shoulder. He's that big. That's really who Goliath's calling out to fight. Bring him out. Let's us two big guys fight. Whoever wins, that's the battle. But he puts that on him. And David said, I can't fight in these. But he had killed a lion and a bear with what? The staff, the sling. Amen? He had done that. Now listen, so much of the time we're trying to go into battle with someone else's armor. You don't need someone else's gifting. You don't need someone else's calling. You don't need someone else's armor to win the battles that you have to win. Amen? You've already got what you need. Hallelujah. Now, of course, we know the story. He wins, right? David had, think about what he had. He had past victories. He'd won battles in the past. God has brought you through many things. Sometimes we forget that. And this next thing is no different than that. He's going to bring you through that. Right? We got past victories to go back on. All right. Second of all, he knew he had a covenant with God. Has anybody in here got a covenant with Almighty God tonight? He had a covenant with, he said, this uncircumcised Philistine. Meaning what? Meaning this guy doesn't have covenant with God. And I do. And he's here defying the armies of God. If he's speaking against me, he's speaking against God. If he's speaking against us, he's speaking against God. He had his sling. And then later on, he said, you come at me. And all they said, I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He had a name. Yes. He already had these things before Goliath ever showed up. Does that make sense to you? Yes. And so look, he's using in the battle what he already has. And he won the victory. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Glory to God. Well, that was Moses. That was David. Hey, we got a better covenant in our day, established on better promises. We got it better than Moses. We got it better than David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mighty Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, is on the inside of us. Amen. Our sins aren't covered. We're cleansed totally from them. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and a creditor has come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, thy handman has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, go, borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Okay? And when you are come in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said, there are no more. And the oil stopped. And she came and told the man of God. He said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and live, and your children off the rest. He said, prophet, she goes to the man of God. He says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you have in your house? She said, all I've got is a pot of oil. That's all I've got left. Woo, man. What would have happened if she would have went in the pot-making business? She went and borrowed all those pots, and as long as there was a pot, empty pot to pour that oil just kept pouring. That oil just kept pouring. That oil. See, using what she had. Amen. And then sell it. Don't worship it. Sell it. Pay off your debt. And then live off the rest of it. Ooh, I'm telling you, when you give what you got to God, God just doesn't come in and barely meet that need. He meets the need for many, 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 many. We don't know. She might have lived the rest of her life on that oil. Amen. But he said, what do you have in the house? What do you have? Well, he could ask all of us that same question. What do we have? What do you have? You know, think about this. She had a pot of oil. She had two sons, and she had neighbors that had enough relationship with them to borrow from them. Sometimes, you know, we don't count our relationships as assets, but they are. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Mark chapter 10. So there's three examples from the Old Testament. How about some from the Gospels? Mark chapter 10. See, it's not according to what you don't have. Don't look at that situation that you're facing, no matter what it is, and say, well, if I just had, no. It's not according to what you don't have. What do you have already? What do you have right now? What can you use right now? What could you sow right now? What could you put in God's hand right now? What do you have in the house? Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, you son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, What will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now notice here, this man was blind. He was sitting there begging. And that garment that he cast away, if you'd study a little bit of history, you'd find out that that was a certified piece of clothing that he wore that told everybody he'd been examined. He was legally blind. It was okay for him to beg. And so he's out there. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. And they charged him. I looked up that word, and it means they dishonored him. The word charger means they dishonored him. And what they literally said to him, be quiet, you of no value. See, people all around you are going to tell you, you can't do that. You're blind. Don't bother, man. Don't bother. You can't do that. You're this. You're too old. You're too young. You're this. All the things. But he didn't focus on what he didn't have. He had his hearing. He heard of Jesus. He still had a voice. He cried out. When he got called, he still had legs and he walked. But above all, what did he have? He had faith. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. He cast aside that garment. He made an all-in decision there. I'm never going to beg again. I don't need this garment. He threw it aside. Amen. I've had people, you talk to them. Now, I'm not saying this to their detriment. I'm just saying this is reality. This is people getting their thinking. I've had people tell me, you know, I've asked them, I said, what are you dealing with here? And, you know, there's obviously something physically wrong with them. Well, da-da-da-da-da. I said, you know, Jesus will heal you of that. Well, let's just hold off on that because if I get, I'll lose my disability check. That'd been like that blind man holding on to that garment. If he just held on to it. Well, I gotta, you know. No, he cast it aside. Why? He knows he's going to get healed. And once he gets healed, he doesn't have to beg any longer. Amen. See, one of the things we do have to do is make a change in our thinking. Now, here's one I enjoy this one in Luke chapter 5. I enjoy this story. We won't read it all, but we'll just read the first parts of it here. Yeah, we might read it all. No. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Again, use what you have, not what you don't have. Quit sitting around feeling sorry for yourself that you don't have this, you don't have that. Well, if I just had a car, I'd get a job. You got feet? Got shoes? Well, I don't have shoes. Got feet? I take you a lot of places in the world that don't have shoes. Amen. See, it's not about what we don't have. It's what we do have. Luke 5:17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men, in Mark chapter 2, it says four men, brought a man in a bed which was taken with a palsy. In other words, he's paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop. Notice, they didn't have room. They didn't have a seat, but that didn't stop them. See, what they didn't have didn't stop them. They're still going to use what they do have. All right? They went on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Of course, scribes and the Pharisees and those, they got mad about it. Who can forgive sins? But we know the story. Jesus finally told him, arise, take up your couch and go into your house. Verse 25, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God. And we're filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. Hallelujah. Think about this guy. Now, he doesn't have, as we said, he doesn't have the ability to walk. But that didn't stop him. He had four friends. What is it Mark Hankin says? Everybody needs four friends that'll grab hold of a corn stalk, swing it over hell, and spit in the devil's eye. Four crazy friends that'll rip the roof off to get you for Jesus to whatever you need. Everybody needs four crazy friends. Amen. Every time you come to church, you ought to point them out. There you are, crazy, 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 crazy faith people. There they are. There they are. There they are. Amen. I'm not looking for people that are going to tell me no. The building's full. I'm looking for people that are going to rip the roof off. We don't have time. We don't look. You done carried me all the way here. We don't have time to go back home without getting what we need. Amen. They took him up on the roof, let him down. Jesus saw their faith. Not just the man, everybody. Hallelujah. See, that's what you don't realize. Look around you just tonight. Look around. You got friends. You got people who believe God with you. Hallelujah. I told you, I grew up in a church that if they ever called somebody's name to pray for them, they said, we are from the pulpit. Remember to pray for so-and-so. That meant they were going to die. And they did. They died. Don't need friends like that. Amen. Now, nothing wrong for, you know, going home to be with the Lord. But I understand. But I'm talking about when you're not done yet. Amen. Some people to help you. He had friends. He had a bed. Notice he did take up that bed when he went home. Jesus told him, take your bed out of here too. Why? You're not staying here around this bunch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Look at Acts chapter 3. Start to wind this up. It's not what you don't have that's going to get you to where you need to be. What do you have now? What do you have now that you can use? See, the Macedonian folks, we didn't read it in 2 Corinthians 8 there, but they were in deep poverty. I mentioned it to you. They didn't have any money, yet they abounded in their gift. They were gave an abundant gift because, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. Lord, here I am. What can I do? And they gave themselves to Paul. Here, Paul, here we are. What can we do to help you? You see, you got a church. What can I do to help the church? Right? Amen. Now, I know, you know, we talked about it, and I think it's a great lesson because God's shown us the power of doing something together corporately when everybody just does their part with the remodel of this building. It's just been incredible to watch. Nobody asked people to start. They just kept giving. After we got, you know, the youth building, they just kept on giving. Just kept on doing it. And it's always about the same amount. And every once in a while you get a big bump, but about the same amount, you know. Well, I would love to be in the place to say, well, how much is it going to cost total and just write the check and give it? But I'm not there yet. But I'm not. That doesn't stop me from giving. Doing my part. It's what I do have. And when you put what you have with what I have, we're going to get it done. Amen? Using what we have. Now, here in Acts chapter 3, you may not have thought about it this way, but I want you to look at this. Verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. He's asking for a gift. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, that's not a scripture that says, see there, preachers aren't supposed to have money. That's not what that's about. If you go back up here, they'd all brought everything they had together so everybody, they're under persecutions, everybody could have something to eat. But go on here. He says, silver and gold have I none. So it's not, Peter said, I can't give you what I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's not one Christian in the world that doesn't have the same thing that Peter had that day, the name of Jesus. Such as I have, give I thee. He had the name. He had the name. And he took him by his right hand. He took him by the hand. He had a hand. And he lifted him up. And they asked him later, what causes, he said, that name, through faith in that name, has made given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That name of Jesus. Sometimes we sit around, we get all sorry for ourselves, think we don't have anything. We've got the name of Jesus. That name that's above all names. Pastor Bill already mentioned it tonight. He mentioned, you know, what we're praying for that little stuffed animal. He said, but I didn't say anything here that's above the name of Jesus. That name. Every one of us have the use of that name and the right to use that name. The name of Jesus. At that name. Glory to God. See, it's not what we don't have. It's not waiting around till I get something before I move. Now listen, if the Spirit of God tells you to wait, then wait there, right? Think about some other stories. They came to the disciples and said, look, don't you people pay taxes? This great teacher, doesn't he pay taxes? They came to Jesus, they want us to pay our taxes. He said, go out there and catch some fish. in the first fish's mouth, take the money out of that and pay our, yours and mine taxes with it. First fish. These guys didn't fish with a line. They threw a net. See, they didn't have the money, but they had a net. Jesus told them, use what you have. Now, can you imagine? I've always had this picture of God, you know, or an angel or somebody sticking their face under the water and say, find some money. And fish going everywhere. Looking for money. We gotta pay the Son of God's taxes. Let's find some money. And they threw that, get in the net. Boom. See, what did they have? They didn't have the money to pay, but they had a net. Glory to God. When we use what we have, God can get involved. Now, one more verse. I don't have this on my list, so Jordan, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. One of the things that helps me with this is to realize this. I say, well, some folks say, well, I just don't have anything. I don't have anything. Yes, every one of us. Every one of you tonight has seed that you don't even consider seed, that you don't even really think about anymore. You've got seed. All right, now think about it. Every one of us has 24 hours in a day. That's seed. Right? God has provided us all oxygen to breathe. We can use that oxygen and that time, seed. Every one of us has something. God has gifted each of us individually according and placed us in the body according to his pleasure. We have that gifting. We've got seed. Now, most of us, we went in our house, and I'm thinking about this. That might be one reason because I got thinking about this again here in the last few days again, is because I'm trying to organize some stuff in my garage. And I'm like, where did all this stuff come from? Now we haven't moved that often, have we? But every time we move, we say we will never ever do this again. We will never have so much stuff to move. And then every time we've done it, guess what? So much stuff. Amen. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen, look at verse number 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God is the one who provides the seed. Are you a sower? Because the multiplication comes once you sow what God has given you. See that? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be money. It can be all kinds of things. But always, always looking at what we have and how that can get me. I'm not trying to pay off God to get me the next. It's just living a lifestyle. Living a lifestyle of when something arises or when God starts talking to you about doing, here's what I want you to do next, and you look and you say, well, if I had the money, that's what I'd do. How about using the currency of faith? I'm not talking about being foolish now. I'm not talking about, you know, being foolish, but I'm talking about, listen, if God is dealing with it, you can't get away from it. I mean, he just, every time you go to God, this comes up. And you can't get away from it. God's talking to you. He's talking about do something. You may not have everything you need. You may not have in possession to get you what you need to do there, but you've got what's going to get you to this next step. That's going to get you a step closer. Use what you have. Amen? Use what you have. You know, there's a lot of people, they want to go in ministry. I've talked to them, you know, but young folks, well, if I just, you know, I just don't have any place. Nobody wants me to come preach. Let me ask you this. How many sermons have you got banked? How many teaching series do you have studied out, ready to go? Sometimes, See, you're not using what you have. You got time now. I'll never forget that I heard Brother Hagin say this. He's talking about it was Monday night. He said, I'm downstairs watching Monday night football. Brother Hagin loved him some football, you know. Now, one reason I know Brother Hagin wasn't perfect was because he loved the Dallas Cowboys. So I know he wasn't perfect, see. I get amen? I got amen. But, and he said he had, at that time he had a couple young ministers. He said they're upstairs studying. They're studying, reading. And he said, I was them. I'd been there. I'd done that over years. I'd study. I'd read all night long and stayed up and prayed and studied and studied and studied and studied. And now he said, I can watch Monday Night Football if I want. Amen? But I heard something there. I heard something. He prepared himself. He had the time. He had the ability to spend hours and hours and hours of reading and studying and praying and spending time with God. And he had that time at that time in his life, and he used it. He didn't waste it. He used what he had. And look what it did. What do you have? What do you have that you can use? You don't know what God's going to do. You don't know where God's going to take you. You don't know what impact you're going to have. And we don't do it to make our name great. We do it to make Jesus. But use what you have to get you to where you need to be. Father, we thank you in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Father, thank you to help us to recognize those things that you've given each of us that we might know, Father God, what it is that you put in our hand, that when we use it, it's going to be a catalyst. It's going to act as that supernatural seed. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We give you honor, Father. Father, I know that in this place, Father God, there are many that are facing decisions. They're facing a time they're looking ahead and they're seeing some changes might be taking place. Father, help them. Help us all even, but help them to see that you've placed in their hand right now what they need to get them to that place. And you'll continually provide seed. You can continually provide provision. You continually provide leading and resources as we do what you tell us to do with what we have. Thank you, Father. We're not without seed tonight. Help us, Father God, to recognize in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just so much stirring around in my spirit right now glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know God's talking to people. Talking to people. Hallelujah. 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 I found this to be true. Help another man's vision come to pass, and God will bring your vision to pass. You've got that. You can help someone. Help Rhema do what Rhema's called to do. Amen. And for a lot of people, that's their calling. That's it. And a lot of us, we've given ourselves to that. And it's taken us, some of us have been taking some of us all over the world. You guys can go ahead and come. Taking us all over the world, been places, met people. I mean, the best people in the world out there. Hallelujah. Christians doing great things all over the world. But all of them have a connection back to this place, back to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You can pray. You can sow that as seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand right where you are right now? Just say whatever you need to say to God. Father, I just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Yes. We bless you, Father. We honor you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die, to rise again, to carry your sin to the cross, but rose again so that you might live and have eternal life. If you believe on him, the Bible says you have everlasting life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place tonight without knowing him. If you need prayer for anything, for that, any other thing, ladies, come to the ladies over here, men to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. We believe you won't leave here like you came. That need will be met in Jesus' name.